scientist, Lavoisier, who several years before he made a critical discovery, went to the office of the French Academy in Paris with a sealed envelope. And in it, he described exactly what the discovery would be. He knew what was going on in his own experiments, but he still lacked the exact evidence to back up his own intuitive insights. In the same way, Fleming, the man who discovered penicillin, exercised his own intuitive insight in a different but in a related fashion when he observed that a mold which had contaminated some of his culture mediums was actually killing bacteria. Now, many other scientists, without a doubt, wrestled with the same scientific problems as these two exceptional men. They saw the same phenomena, the same things happening under the microscope, but these two men, Lavoisier and Fleming, saw more than phenomena. They saw more. Their discoveries were the results of what we call insights. Intuitive insights whereby we make connections in ways in which other people do not. Relationships that no one ever before had ever really made. Now, all the readings in today's Mass are about religious insight. The ability to see all of life through a religious perspective. The capacity to be able to see what life is really about. It is simply a fact that is accepted that some people are more gifted than other people, more gifted in a religious sense, or as we told you last week in the update that we gave you, there are different stages of growth in faith. Some people are practically born with this religious insight as a gift, so that they have a special natural skill in matters of religious insight, in the same way that Lavoisier and Fleming had in scientific matters. It means that these people are able to see the religious dimensions of life and the world all around them without hardly any effort. It's a gift, it's a blessing. At other times, it's almost as if it were a curse, because one wonders why other people find it so very difficult to understand the implications of what goes on around us. It means that so many people then have the opposite problem. Those who are not born and do not even acquire early in life this kind of religious sense as almost a second nature. If anything, it seems that many people are born religiously insensitive. And it takes them a long, long time through a great deal of training and sensitivity to strive and strain to learn to see religious implications in daily living. We ask, well, why is that? One obvious reason, particularly now on Labor Day weekend, is to celebrate technology, a glittering world all around us, is that most people obviously are tied down with the ordinary routine of life. Things happen to us, we make things happen to other people. We all get older each day. Sun rises, night comes. It's Christmas, spring, Easter, Labor Day, and we discover how rapidly time begins to fly. And then, vaguely, we just begin to suspect that there is something else going on besides the flight of time. We begin to suspect the reality that we are becoming older. Each year that we celebrate Labor Day, just 1 year closer to death, not only that school starts and vacation is over, but that is the one last Labor Day weekend left in life. Now that's what the man was thinking about in the first reading. In Isaiah, this man saw life differently. He was like the other Jewish people in exile in Babylon, and yet he saw the mystery of the living God at work in this exile experience. And in a mysterious way, he recognized that in the events that were happening around them, there was going to be another step in God's plan, and there would be a release from exile, a return of these people once more from exile in Babylon to be allowed to go home again to Jerusalem. In the same way, the poor man of the gospel was caught in some kind of a disturbance mentally, so that when Jesus touched him and healed him, this man, for the first time, could understand, could comprehend that these strange sounds that we call words, for the first time to this poor man, those sounds no longer were just gibberish. They were no longer simply disconnected vowels and consonants. But for the first time, a man could hear words and meaning. And above and beyond that, he understood what it was that Jesus was saying. He now had the gift of speech and the gift of hearing. Can you imagine what it would be like if you could not speak or hear? Beyond that, the special gift of understanding, of knowing that the living God is at work in all of the events that go on around us, day in and day out, that there is a constant, mysterious design in all of the events, the gift of understanding that comes, not only with hearing words, but understanding their meaning. We are told in a recent study that in America, a minimum of 1/3 of all of the American people acknowledge openly that they have had, not once but many times, what we normally call religious experience. Experience in which we receive deep religious insight into the fact that all of us are united to all things in the universe, that we are all united, each to another, and that in this religious insight, we are able to see and understand and know that this universe in which we live is gracious, is benign, and is overwhelmingly, lovingly ours. But it is we who cause it the harm. Many people today try in artificial kind of ways to discover what could be called a religious experience, a mystical experience. The words that are used by all young people who enter cults, who leave institutional religion, try to achieve what is called a mystical experience or a religious experience through rock music, through drugs, through transcendental meditation, through hypnosis, self-hypnosis, various other kinds of gimmicks. Perhaps they can. The element of God is missing. The real problem that we have is to begin to take the first small step on Labor Day weekend from the humdrum burden and routine monotonies that so often take over our daily living, to be able to establish a sense of priorities, that at least a few moments each day should be taken to discover what the meaning of life is. What is the meaning of the gift of our life? What is the meaning of the gift of the world all around us? What is the meaning of the gift of our own personal human existence? We are so thoroughly mundane, such worldly people bogged down with the details. We are so realistic, so hard-headed, so sophisticated, always looking for where the action is. And once we've found it, we must stay there until it's all over. And when it's over, there's no time to pray, no time to read what could nourish our spirit. And so before we know it, the action is really all over. And before we know it, life is really all over. And there's no time left to nourish the spirit that gives meaning to our life. No time to pray, no time to communicate. And we may wonder then, in those last moments of life, what in the world was it really all about? Why didn't we take the time, a few moments a day, to discover the secret that the very part of our life and our psyche that we most despised, most rejected, most ignored, was the very place in life where the Savior and the Healer, the Lord, wished to be born within us. Those very places in our life where we experience pain and suffering and humility and depression, those are the very places that create the seedbed for growth in the spirit. The life of the risen Lord is met most directly at the empty tombs of our lives. And when people ask, why is it today more difficult to pray than our ancestors found it? It's because we have become so entranced with the glittering civilization that surrounds us that we no longer learn to depend upon the Lord in whom we live and move and have our meaning. On this Labor Day weekend, to develop a little bit each day a conscious awareness of the grandeur of God around us, despite the wonderful technological civilization that is celebrated at Labor Day, it does not answer the questions deepest within us. Why are all human persons so lonely? Why are so many people disillusioned? Why are so many people disappointed with the glittering civilization that surrounds us? And why is there no answer to the mystery of death? With the beginning of autumn, on Labor Day weekend, build and work a little bit each day into your lives, a little time to reflect, a little time to pray, a little time to understand what life and labor are all about while you still have the time to do it.